ready for the word tonight. And let's start off at Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2. We actually were here Sunday morning. I'm going to pick up with a discussion we were having on Sunday morning. It came out of a prophecy that God gave me during the Grace Advance. Wasn't it a great advance? I'm still marinating in the results of that. And I had our ministers meeting yesterday. Pastor Callan was still just talking about how well it went, how pleased he was with all the sessions. And God's moving. There's no doubt about it. He's moving. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Let's go to verse number 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn. And Nancy brought up the prophecy tonight as well about turning, pivoting. Turn you northward. I had a prophecy come to me Monday night of the Grace Advance, last Monday, a week ago Monday, where the Lord said this year is going to be a pivotal year, a year of pivot. And what He meant was a year of a turn. The things were going to make a turn this year. That doesn't mean everything will be accomplished, but there'll be a turning point set forth. Amen? And God, understand Deuteronomy was written about 30 days before Israel went into the wilderness. And God said, you've been wandering for 40 years. All those of unbelief have died off. You've been trained and raised up under supernatural provision. Do you understand that the children of Israel came out of Egypt, could not get their souls to embrace living by faith? They couldn't really get their lives, their minds to grab a hold of, their minds to embrace the possibility that God would really be able to take them in and conquer seven nations stronger than they were. Amen. And because their souls couldn't make the transition from bondage to the head, not the tail, they had to wander until they died off. But the next generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, how many know they were able to go in? The next generation were raised eating manna falling from the sky, or really just sitting on the ground every morning. That generation watched water come from a rock. They watched the poisonous vipers bite them, and they raised up the brass serpent on a pole, and if they just look at the pole, they'd be supernaturally healed by the bites that normally were going to cause them to die. They were raised up under supernatural conditions. Amen? And God said, now you've gone around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes, right? You've gone around the mountain enough times, turn. Go another direction. Now listen, I believe God got us on the right track. But I believe there's going to be a turning point in the manifestations we see. I believe there's going to be a turning point in the level of victory over attack that we see. I believe there'll be a turning point in your relationships, in your finances, in your healing. Turning points in every area of your life if you'll just believe God and step into it. Now, these turns aren't automatic. They require extending into them by faith. Amen. It requires you being determined that you're going to turn northward. I'm telling you what, God said it's time for you to turn, go northward. Had they not turned, they'd still be going around the mountain. Amen. Probably till all of them died off. But they chose to turn northward, and then God was able to take them into the promise. But they had to step out. One of the amazing stories, you know, we talk about the Red Sea parting, but another amazing story is when they went to go into the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan, right, in Joshua. And it was flooded at harvest time. And again, this time, they had to step into the Jordan, the priests had to go in, and when they stepped in, then the waters dried up. Another miracle manifestation to go into the promised land. But they had to step in. And we have to step forth and say, God, by faith, I step into this place of opportunity. Even though it looks like I'm going to be drowned, Looks like I'll be swept away. It looks like more than my soul can handle. I trust you to take me through into the other side. And of course, on the other side was Jericho, the most fortified city in the land. Walls that would be impossible for Israel to breach. Yet God gave them a word, right? To walk around the wall 7 days. And of course, we know the story as they followed what God said it with specific, how can I say, with precise obedience, the walls fell flat into the ground. They took the city. A totally supernatural victory. But they had to do the marching. So when God says it's a year of turnaround, don't think you can just do things the same way as you always did and you'll see the turnaround. You're going to step out and say, God, I'm going to try this. I'm going to step into this opportunity. I'm going to go through this door. I'm going to stand on this promise. I'm going to get in the Word and trust you that there's a grace released, an impartation available, that if I'll step forward, it's going to come on my life and I'll do what I couldn't do before. So you've got to believe. You know, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Elijah. Called down fire from heaven. And before he called down, now this is a major thing. They're under a challenge here to call down fire. Now I don't know about you, I've never called down fire before. I don't know that Elijah had ever called down fire before. You've got to know that you heard God in a situation like this. But he heard God, either he knew he heard God or he knew God would back him up. I have to believe he heard God. So they build these great, you know, wooden altars, and he doesn't just, he lets the false prophets do their thing, cut themselves, cry out, mocks them, makes fun. You better be sure what you're going to receive if you're making fun of the other guy, right? And then, in the middle of a drought, before he calls down fire, he says, okay, now dig trenches, and let's pour this water out here. Making it harder. I mean, no, nothing's too hard for God. And he called down fire from heaven. And of course, it consumed all the wood, licked up all the water, everything gone. And then they proceeded to kill 850 false prophets. The point I want to make is Ezekiel would do what he could do, and then God would come on him and do the rest. That's what walking as a Christian is all about. The word Christian means a little anointed one. The anointing means to rub on or to smear on. See, the anointing is God smearing substance on you that lets you do what you couldn't do of yourselves. Amen. But yet you still have to do something to get it to activate. I'm thinking of a movie. I don't know if I could recommend it or not, but I remember seeing it years ago. And it was one of the Alien movies. I think it was Aliens. And toward the end of the movie, she's landed on this spaceship, and here's an alien that's come in as well. So she gets in this, like, robot, mechanical walker thing. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? It's this, like, skid steer with grabbers and all this stuff. She gets in it. What it does, she moves all the things, and all these hydraulics go into effect. She becomes strong like the alien. Amen. Well, I look at that, and that speaks to me like the anointing coming on you. That speaks to me like you get in and you move, and God's going to have power to back you up and do, so you can do what you couldn't do before. Where, you know, we had that prophecy come forth, the part of the word was, you'd be able to, that anointing will be the same anointing allowed Elijah to outrun a chariot. We still had to run. So the point I'm making here is when I'm talking about a turning point, you still have to step into something. The blessings of God don't come just because you went to church. They come because you go through a door. You step out. You pray for somebody. You bless somebody. You go do something. And then trust God to do what you can't do of yourselves. Amen. So I even discussed this some yesterday at the pastor's meeting. We started talking Sunday about the roller coaster. Remember the roller coaster? I had that roller coaster dream some 25 years ago or so. I mentioned this Sunday, but I want to spend a few more times just emphasizing it. We start talking about the roller coaster being a type of a pivot. Remember this? In the roller coaster, when you're getting on the roller coaster and you're going up in the car, up this side, it's going click, click, click. And you're having an outside force. See, what happens is there's a motor down here running this chain that's lifting these cars up here. You follow me? So a motor is allowing this car to build up potential energy. And when it gets to the peak of the mountain, as it comes over the peak, which is a pivot point, the potential energy is converted to kinetic energy. No longer on this ride is this chain moving the car. Now it's just gravity. Amen? In fact, there's enough potential energy built up as it turns into kinetic energy. This car down here may be doing this and this and everything else because enough energy was built up here to take it all the way through the ride. Amen. And so we talked about that God will take you through a long season sometimes. My season's been about 30 years. Now, there's been pivot points in the past in these seasons. I mean, one just getting called to ministry was a pivot point for my life, right? You've had pivot points, but I'm talking about a pivot point for the corporate church going into the glory. And what happens is there'll be a season where you're in the Word, you're praying, you're seeking God, you're doing what you know to do, you're witnessing, you're praising God in the Word, confessing, praying in the Holy Ghost, and you're building up potential energy, internal momentum. Amen? But there comes a time where God opens a door and you've got a place where now you've got to speak and all of a sudden out comes utterance. You've got to pray for somebody. Out comes power. What happens? That potential becomes released. We saw that on the day of Pentecost. I mean, they'd spent 3.5 years with Jesus. 40 days of it under intense training after he rose from the dead. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up before the people. And when he opened his mouth, he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And God converted potential energy to kinetic. And 3,000 people were saved in a day. An anointing was released because he stepped out. Amen. And of course, it was a result of the entire outpouring, but they had to cooperate with what God was doing. So God will take you through training periods. You think, when did God win? We went to Habakkuk chapter 2 where it says, the vision yet for an appointed time. But then she'll speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, it will not tarry. That the vision is going to seem like it's running late. God, when are you going to release me? When's the calling going to come to pass? When am I going to see the miracles? When am I going to see the manifestation? When, God, when? God said, this is a pivot point year. Amen. But we've got to step into it. But here's the part I've been just meditating. Is if I take our roller coaster all our wheels doo 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 all connected together, right? We talked about this Sunday morning that on a roller coaster the ride is different if you ride in the front cars versus the back cars. When you ride in the front cars, this thing will be clicking all the way up the hill and you're all tied together and you're all going the same speed up the hill because you're connected, you have to go the same speed. And you'll get to the top of the hill and think, okay, I'm going to take off. But because you're in the front car, all the other cars are weighing you down still. They're still here going click, click up the hill. This roller coaster doesn't reach the pivot point until the center of the coaster gets to the top. Do you follow me? So what will happen is on many roller coasters, you're in the front car, you're up here. This thing doesn't take off until you're already partway down the hill. It's fun if you ever ride the Vortex in, you know, at Kings Island or the Beast. I think of the Vortex because that was always my favorite coaster they had. Is you get in the front car, there's always a longer line for the front car. Because people will wait just for that opportunity. And you're in the front car, and you get over the hill, and you're thinking, when's this going to take off? And you're facing down, and it's still going click, 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 until it gets that center point, and all of a sudden, the kinetic energy manifests, and you take off. Do you follow me? Now, here's the thing. And again, I mentioned Sunday morning, but I want to bring it out again tonight. When you're in the front car, I want you to imagine this represents that you see the vision. Because when you're in the leading edge, what God's doing, and this is a leading edge church, leading edge ministry, I'm telling you. When you're in the front lines of what God is doing, you see the vision. I got the water tower right out there. Reminded me of the glory God showed me in the vision, you know, over 25 years ago. So I see the vision. I understand God wants to bring the glory to the cities. I understand He wants to empty the hospitals and the mental institutions. I understand He wants to bring in the harvest. Amen. And bankrupt the devil. Throw that one in as well. Heal the multitudes. And so what happens is when you're the leading edge of this ride, because there's going to be a corporate release to some level, at least to the revivalist people. Even in this church, some see it and some really don't yet. Some of you, when I talk about the vision, go, I see it. I remember 1987. Pastor Ron Callahan came to the church we were going to in Lexington. And he stepped behind the pulpit and he started telling us about a vision that he had. That God gave him a vision of revival coming to the cities. And that God has showed him that revival is coming to Lexington, Kentucky. And there'd be other outlying churches connected together in a hub-type fashion. When the denomination system were here, that was impossible. But he started sharing this vision. And I saw it. Pastor Jim Schreiner saw it. Pastor Philip Derber saw it. But we saw it. I mean, it was real to us. We thought it was going to happen any day. Amen. Didn't know it was still 5 years away. It took 5 years before we became Grace Ministries from that point. And the hub position started being made. Amen. We're one of the hubs. And so we were in the leading edge, coming over the edge, seeing all of it, seeing what God had in mind, what He wanted to do. But when's it going to release? When's this thing going to accelerate? I'll tell you what, it's accelerating now. So when you're in the front edge, you're going, win, God, win. When you're in the back car, you're going, what, God, what? Because you, and understand, we've never rode this ride before. So if you've never been on a certain roller coaster, and you're back here, you can't necessarily see what's over here. Now, chances are you walked around and you saw, you know, before you got on the ride, had an idea. Some rides you can't see what's going on, especially like the Beast. The Beast is out there. You can't see it really until you get on it. Amen. I never ride the Beast that's named after the Antichrist. It's a ride. Amen. It's not taking the mark of the devil or anything like that. Amen. They weren't thinking Antichrist. They were thinking like, amen. I just wouldn't take that chance. I enjoy roller coasters. And so you don't see from here what's over here. So up here, the people are going, this guy he's going to win. This guy's going, what? He ain't any idea what's coming. He's going to the church. He's heard about the vision. He's heard about the glory. But it's not yet totally solidify within him, he's going, well, I like the church. I like his message. It sounds good, and I hope what he's saying is true. And I'm, you know, bless God, I'll do what I know to do. But they haven't yet seen it. And so what happens is these guys are pulling. These guys are being drug a bit. Amen. These guys, when the vision releases, they know what's going on. We've been Grace Ministries now 23 years. And to my knowledge, nothing's ever caught us by surprise. Every move of God that was coming forth, we were already tapping into. Amen. God already shown us the revelation. We were already moving into it to some level. And why? Because you see when you're on the leading edge. You see what God's doing. And we might have not seen it the first time, but when we saw it the first time, when we did see it, we knew it was God. Here's an example. I remember, now this would have been probably 1988, 99, I don't know. Pastor Callan came to our house and he put a videotape, he had a VCR tape, he brought a VCR tape. He says, here's a minister that I'd like you guys to see. And I think you'll find this enjoyable. We were there with another couple. We had Pastor Callan, another couple over to the house, had dinner, and they put the VCR tape in. And there's this guy called, we never heard him before, called Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. And he starts praying for people. I commanded you to laugh. Actually, he just started speaking and people started laughing. Next, you know, people are all, I mean, a whole auditorium, big place. People are all on the floor laughing, pinned to the floor. And he's still teaching. And he's walking around going, little bubble out of your belly. I command you to laugh in Jesus' name. He was South African, right? And joy was hitting the church. And we knew that night that was God. Other people saw stuff, I don't believe that's God. I ain't God in there laughing in the church. That ain't God. We knew it was God. Amen. So when Benny Hinn came along, I don't know, his hair, whatever, we knew it was God. You're not doing the miracles he does and not see God behind you. Are you following me? And so we've been able to recognize, I believe, the real and the counterfeit all the way through. Why? Because when they're leading is that vision is before you, lighting the way. Amen. When you're in the back, you know there's something out there, but you're just not sure what it is. And a lot of times you're trusting ones in the front car to tell you what it is to relate back. Because a lot of times the tie between this spot and this spot, is a pulpit. This guy is relating to this guy what's coming down the road. Did you follow me on that? What's neat is if you get a hold of the vision, God will translate you to the front of the car. It's just a matter of getting where you see it. Now, I think I have a whole church full of people in the front of the car. Amen. Because here's what happens when you're in the back of the car. In the natural. When you're in the back of the car, this guy gets to click, click, click all the way to the top. You can see all out here. I mean, his vision's going way out here. He's seeing all this. He's seeing here. He's seeing it. Got all slow motion. Everything's slowed down. He sees it. Because the thing's still going slow. Click, click, click. But when it gets to this tipping point, all of a sudden, this thing starts to rapidly accelerate. In fact, it accelerates in an exponential fashion. Amen. It starts going. And what happens is this guy back here, by the time the roller coaster is here, he don't have a chance to pause. He can't look at anything. He's already screaming. Because this thing's now in full speed or close to it. And so what happens is he gets whipped over the top. Anybody ever been whipped in a roller coaster? What I'm talking about? You're in the front, you just go over the hill like this, top of the first hill. You go over it kind of slow like this, and click, 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 and then it takes off. A whole lot easier. In the back one, you're sitting back and going, well, this is interesting. I wonder what's on the other side. I mean, wonder what is it, a big hill on the other side? It looks like, I can't tell, but all of a sudden, woo, whoa, and you're in it. You're thrown up and pulled down by that car. And so he just gets to react. He doesn't get to plan. Do you follow me? He's a reactionary. He's just got to respond to whatever happens. This guy up here, he sees what's coming all the way. I understand by the time it's done, if there's enough loops in this thing, everybody's going to be turned upside down. You're going to hang on with everything you got. But this guy always screams before this guy. Amen. I mean, when you're on the coaster and you're already halfway down the hill before it takes off, you're looking, oh, it's not far, that far to drop. When you're up at the top and it whips you over and you got the whole thing to go down, things shift. Amen. And so there are going to be people in the church that are in the front and some that are toward the back. But I believe God's got a plan. He's got a whole group he wants to take through. And what keeps you connected is covenant. Amen. These ties between the cars are covenant ties. See, years ago when God showed me the vision of the glory, he showed me the water tower. I mean, showed it to me. Full color movie. He didn't show it to my wife. You follow me? When he told me to quit my job, he told her the same thing, but he told me to quit. Amen. She just knew God said it. He didn't tell her that. He just knew that it was true. She just knew. So what happened is God never told her. So what happened is she may not see it. I see it. But because she said, I'm connected to him, how many were in a covenant? And she says, I'm going to hang on to his coattails. I'm not letting go. I'm going to support him however I can. She will see the same rewards I will see. At least to some level. Amen. The level that she cooperates and supports, fulfills what God says to do, even though she doesn't see the same vision, she's going to experience the same results. It just may catch her more by surprise. And I'm going to say, this is that we talked about. Remember, we talked about this is that. Why do I feel like I'm upside down? Because everything's upside down, Patty. Didn't you see this coming? No, I was back there, you know, cleaning the house. And the point being is, this is a covenant church. Amen. Covenant meaning we're in agreement to stay in a relationship. A covenant is a contract with regard to relationship, but it's more than a contract. It's contracts are much too easy to break. Covenants are lifelong commitments, at least regarding marriage and church. It's a commitment. And on our church body covenant, you come into this church, this is a covenant church. This is a covenant refresher night regarding pivot points. As things start to heat up and speed up, there's going to be more opportunities for offense. We had some situations this weekend with the marriage conference with Alma's trying to run the coffee shop. Others are trying to set up for the marriage conference and, you know, people need this space and these resources. Not to mention, I got the bookstore tore up. There's these little clashes that want to try to manifest to get people frustrated with each other. Amen. A covenant church refuses frustration with each other. They refuse division, they refuse strife, they refuse grumbling, they refuse backbiting or gossip, undercutting, competition. Amen. We recognize that as things heat up, there's going to be more opportunity for friction. Now, I forget which law it is. I'm going to guess it's Charles' law that says a gas under pressure. As pressure increases, so does temperature. Anybody know which law it is? Boyle's law, Charles' law. If you take a volume of gas and you start to compress it, the temperature will go up in direct proportion to the pressure increase. The reason is because you've got so many molecules in there. You know, gaseous molecules, so many molecules, and as you compress it, the space between the molecules gets smaller and smaller. So they bump into each other much more often, and the bumping into each other causes the temperature to increase. Amen. And so a gas, the temperature of a gas, will go up in proportion to the pressure applied upon it. Well, as pressures increase in this end time move of God, how many know on the day of Pentecost, when 8,000 people are saved in a week, that pressures increased? Who's taking care of these people? Who's discipling these? You know, there's all this competition between the new people. I think I want to listen to Peter. Well, I really like John. Well, I like this one, you know. Probably even Judas had his own group. Well, I think Judas had the right answer back. There's always dissenters as well, right? All this pressure will manifest as kinetic energy increases in the church. In other words, we go into faster motion, pressure's going to increase because of so much going on. And as pressure increases, temperature or opportunities for strife are going to arise. So in a pivotal year, it's vital we keep in mind that we're a covenant people. Now, see, we've got some people in here that are newer with us. We've been teaching covenant in here since the inception of this church. I've been teaching covenants, you know, since 1991, heavily. That church is not supposed to be a people competing for position. It's to be a place where everybody's trying to support each other in their visions in the effort to fulfill an overall vision. And it's not a place where we're trying to show what we can do above somebody else. We're trying to help other people maximize what God's shown them to do. And that becomes a seed that God will help. He'll raise up people to help you do what He's called you to do. In this church, we do not allow gossiping, backbiting, undercutting, strife, and we do everything we can to eradicate offense. At the same time in this church, we don't allow other people, this should be a good one for you to amen, to roast the pastor. You can roast him in a fun way, I'm talking about in a harmful way. In other words, what happens is the enemy, Paul said this, I know after I leave, the devil, the enemy is going to send in grievous wolves, not sparing the flock. And the devil's always going to send people in here. None of you, I'm certain. Amen. But this happens. It's happened many times before. The devil sent people in here. They had no heart for the vision. They're coming in to try to take out sheep. And they come in with their own flaky doctrines. I've spoken to some lately, flaky doctrines. They come in with flaky doctrines. And they want to bring people aside and say, you know, I just don't agree with what he's speaking over there. I don't think that's right, that faith stuff. I don't believe it's all right. Here's what I believe. But that's a wolf. Amen. Now, it's okay not to understand or see what I'm saying, but you don't go to the people in the church saying, come and see me about it if you have a question. Because we've got to be of one mind, right? Understand, I can miss it. And if I miss it, I want to know about it. So you got something I need to know, let me know. Amen. But chances are, maybe I've seen something on the other side over here you haven't seen yet. And if you just sit a while and look in the Word, you're going to find out it's true. How many people have come in here and told me that healing is not for today? How many people have told me that speaking in tongues is the devil? Come in my bookstore all the time and will tell me speaking in tongues is the devil. You're in my shop telling me my shop has books about the devil. Amen. Maybe I've seen something you haven't seen. And then here's the one, of course, now. Well, that prosperity thing, that's just a tool for pastors to try to get money from the people. I've seen over the side, or if I've seen what God wants to do in the future. It's going to take money. And I know God doesn't want it all coming from the church. He intends to take from the wicked. For the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And so, we don't allow, you know, this is not scolding anybody or warning anybody. This is talking about, I'll get to it in a minute. This is talking about how we respond as a church. We don't allow any type of festering to start in the church of questioning the vision. Amen. In the same way, I don't allow any festering in here against anybody here. Somebody comes to me and says, I have a problem with this person at church. I thought to do this. I'll say, well, you know, that's really not your category. If you feel you're something you need to let me know, then thank you for letting me know. And, you know, I'll be considerate of it. But if you're just trying to create division, you're in the wrong church. Amen. Because I'm not, I look at you, I see the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus on your life. So I have no desire to hear all the negative things about you. Amen. I'm not judging you based on pros and cons. He's judging you based on the blood of Jesus. And he wants us to do the same. In the same way, you need to have faith your pastor's hearing God. You don't need people coming here second-guessing what's going on. Hadn't happened in a long time, or if I'm just saying, here's what the enemy wants to do. And as so the thing we did, in fact, let me back up a little bit. I've mentioned this many times before. When we formed Grace Ministries in really February 2nd, 1992, I think it was our first service, we started with about 400 to 500 people. I mean, that's how big our first services were. We had voted out of the one church and 400 or 500 people came with us. Plus, they came from other places in town for what was going on. And we're thinking revival is going to break forth any time. I mean, it's time for the glory to move. And didn't know grievous wolves came in as well, not sparing the flock. And there were people sent in by the devil to get us to doubt the apostle and those that were placed around him. So all these rumors, now this has been 20, 23 years ago, so I think the rumors have been proven false by now, amen. But the rumors were, is that Pastor Callan was sleeping with all these women in the church. Pastor Jim, Pastor Philip, myself were all homosexuals. Several other, Pastor Dave, others were having affairs. I mean, there was a list. In fact, there was a list. I never saw the list. Nobody had the nerve to show it to me. But I was told by several people there was a list going around the church that everybody else had seen of 10 grievances against the leadership. 10 of them. And people were believing the lies. In fact, what happened is I even sat with some friends of ours. And they had seen the list. I mean, close friends. Still close friends. And they said, all these things are being said about you and Pastor Callahan and the rest of them. What do you got to say about it? And I says, really? I'm just going to tell you they're all lies. I'm straight. Amen? Pastor Callahan would never think of cheating on his wife. It's just ridiculous. I said, everything on that list is a lie. And here was the answer. Certainly they can't all be lies. And I said, how many lies does it take to make a truth? You think because there's a whole bunch of them, now one's got to be true? Well, fortunately, they heard what I said and they stayed. And later they realized it was a lie. It was all lies. But we lost over 200 people out of that. I'm not talking about church split. I'm talking about people just left. One over here, one over there. No leader to it. Just because of the rumors, they scattered. where God wanted to bring a great move, starting off, the devil's able to come because nobody knew covenant. Split us up. Now, here's the thing. Pastor Callahan, probably a year before, maybe two, had called a group of us together that were his intercessors. We were just an intercessory team. That's what we were known as. And we followed him everywhere to pray with him. I mean, if he had a deacon meeting, we'd be outside the deacon meeting room praying in the Spirit. We were in the prayer room all the time at church. And he came to us. He says, God has spoken to me. Now, we're in a denomination. He says, he's spoken to me. I'm to teach you covenant. And he says, I don't even know anything about covenant. But God spoke to me. He says, I'm to teach you covenant because where he wants to take us, only covenant can take us. Amen. In fact, he said it this way. This ministry that God's raising up, this revival, can only go as far as we understand covenant. We're going like, what's covenant? I don't know. No one knows new. So we spent week after week for probably 2 years, every Thursday night, usually at my house. And Pastor would come in and teach us covenant. Just a group of us every week. And I'm telling you, every devil in hell tried to attack us. We lost several people out of it. In the group, his intercessors, they left because the covenant attacks were so strong. Tell us nobody liked you and, you know, all this other stuff. And only hanging on the covenant, we make it. Well, then after about 2 years, we became Grace Ministries. So when this assault of attack hit, there were about 10 of us new covenant. And our wives. Maybe 10 people new covenant. We've been learning and working it for 2 years. Every day for 2 years. But the church hadn't learned it yet. He couldn't teach into the denominational system. I mean, they wanted to kill him anyway over there. So we became our own entity. Nobody knew covenant except the intercessor group. And with 400 people, there weren't enough of us to put out all the fires quick enough. And people were leaving the church before we could even get to them to explain it's a lie. But the ones that stayed, the ones that made it through that initial assault, we started teaching covenant to. And that you can't believe everything written down on a sheet of paper what somebody says. And if it's not in alignment with the Word of God, cast it down until you actually see it happen. And so we started this thing in the church. If somebody comes to you with gossip, grumbling, murmuring, attacking the pastor, we tell them, my ears are not a garbage dump. Take it somewhere else. If you've got a grievance with the pastor, go see him. In fact, you can even tell him, I'll take you to him. I've never had that happen. Nobody's ever, I've had people say it. Nobody's ever came from that. Because they're not here to try to fix me. They're here to try to destroy the work of God. Amen. They're just trying to create dissension because where a kingdom is divided, it cannot stand. But where a church comes in covenant, no devil in hell can break it. Amen. So this being a covenant church, it's vital as we go through this pivot into what I believe is going to cause more opportunity for pressure, stress, and strife. It's going to require us to stay in a place of worship. See, I believe God's got this thing worked out. Do you understand that worship relieves stress? Because the presence of God brings peace. So as God's bringing the church into this pivot point, it's vital our worship go to higher levels as well to enable us and to train us how to alleviate the or the potential of collapse in the midst of great revival. So tonight, this worship was just wonderful. Amen? Wonderful worship tonight. And the presence of God is the teachers here tonight. Amen. And so, God, I believe, is bringing us to the higher place of worship to enable us to manifest more anointing, to access the grace to do what we could never do before, to handle the increase or the challenges of going through the pivot transition. Amen. See, if I take a container full of gas and I pressurize the gas so the temperature heats up, but then I drop the container in a container of ice water, it's going to cool that gas down despite the pressure. Amen. And if things heat up around us, and we learn to worship God and step into the glory, then despite the increased demand, the increased outside, you know, external pressures, we'll be cool from the inside and be able to contain the entire thing. See, God can't take a non-worshiping church into the glory, because they won't have the substance rubbed on their life necessary to keep them mentally together in the manifestations the glory will produce. See, here's what we think. Here's what we think. Here's how our minds tend to gravitate. Here's what we think is going to happen when the glory hits. And of course, this, let me describe what is going to happen when the glory hits. When the glory hits, as we step into more and more glory, healing is going to be easier and easier to manifest. Money is going to come to you at higher and higher levels than ever before. That sounds wonderful. You're going to raise your hands in service and the glory is going to hit you and you're just going to love everybody. People are going to love you. Gifts are going to fly back and forth all around. You're going to go out and witness to people out in the public, and they're going to come to you from every direction. How can I get saved? Amen. How many of those sounds wonderful? Now let me tell you the other side of the coin. As you're witnessing all these people out in public, and you lead them all to the Lord, and God's going to say, but you need to disciple them as well. So He's going to say, I need you to start a cell group in your house, a Bible study under Pastor Jack, that you can disciple these people that are coming in, train them up in the basics and answer their questions. Amen. And so God's going to say, I need you to start a Bible study in your house, because that's what He told me to do in September 1991. Uh-oh. Now it was more than just witnessing something. Now there's a responsibility added to it. And then He's going to say, oh, and by the way, I need you to preach, to teach it at Bible study. So I need you to put lessons together, go do some research, go see Pastor Jack for the New Creations class notes or whatever. I need you to teach this class. Not only that, they're going to need transportation to get to your Bible study or whatever. I need you to go out and buy a bus to get them all, and I need you to hire a driver. I mean, I'm talking about just things you're going to increase. You're going to need resources, wisdom. Then all these people come into the church, and before you had 3 babies in the nursery, now you got 400. And nobody's trained on how to do nursery yet. Because you got these new babies don't know how to do it. You know, the mothers. And so you're going to be ready to pull your hair out, and you're going to go, Jesus, I need you right now. Jesus, hallelujah. I'm talking about diapers lined up to be changed. They have to put an assembly line out there. I mean, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. They got into strife. The church got into strife because the widows of the Greeks were being neglected. Things weren't getting done. So you got all these babies, you're going to say, God, because overwhelm was going to try to hit you. Overwhelm. It's that whipping point over the hill. Because you thought you knew it was coming. Because here's the thing. On this first hill, the visionary sees. Once kinetic energy is manifested, these loops down here, nobody see. See, you see the vision if you're on the leading edge. When it's time, for the initial pivot. But I'm telling you what, you don't see what's down the road. First time I rode the Vortex, I'd studied it. I remember. I looked okay. It's got a double loop. Two barrel rolls going the opposite direction. A big hill at the drop. Okay, I know what to expect. Till I got on it. You get on it, you go over the first hill, and it's whoosh like this. And before you can say, what have I done? You're upside down. And you don't know where you're at on that. Anybody rode those before? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You don't know where you're at. You know, you're pretty sure you're upside down. Next thing, it whips you straight up again. And you think, oh, I made it through. And it whips you upside down again. Then it goes the upside down twists, opposite directions. And next thing you know, it's rolling to a stop. And you go like, what happened? What just happened to me? Can I do that again? I wrote that one time, 6 times in a row. My mind was blended. IBM had family day out there. They let us in the park 2 hours early, and the rides were empty. They just let us stay on the Vortex. I wrote 6 straight times. I got off. I couldn't even walk. Amen. At least not in a straight line. So the point I want to make out of this is, yes, the leading edge seer is going to see what's coming in the vision ahead. But when everything breaks loose, it's hang on. And you better be able to worship God. Because when there's 400 babies in the nursery, some of you are at Lee Church now, we're just over that one. No, you're not. You have to go, God, I need help. I magnify you right now. I bless you right now. Glory, I receive grace of God for this right now in Jesus' mighty name. Send me angels to change those diapers. And all of a sudden, 300 babies flip upside down, powder flying everywhere. Next thing you know, they're all smiling. Why not? I mean, if God can pull all the nails out of the boards for Pastor Philip, he can change some diapers. Amen. See, I mentioned this before. A lot of these stories I tell over and over again because they fit into what the point I'm trying to make. When Pat and I first learned how to access the grace of God, we were new Christians. Well, this would have been in 87. We've been saved 3 years. And they put us back in the with the children in three age groups, 0 to 1, 1 to 2, and 2 to 3. And they'd rotate you. And all the parents with babies, most of them had to do service in the nursery, in one part of it. And we found out, if we would pray when we got there, because I'm in prayer and fasting in the Word all the time, we get to church, we'd pray and say, God, we ask you for grace right now to do this. We'd be in a room. Now, it would not be uncommon. It'd just be Patty and I, say, with the nursery, with the babies. There might be, what, 20 kids, 20 babies in there? 20 babies, 0 to 1 in there with Patty and I. And often, I'd have 3 or 4 of them in my lap, in the rocking chair. I remember the rocking chair. I'd have them like this. Patty Bior changing diapers. Handing out crackers. Whatever, not crackers, I guess that age. Whatever we could give them. And whatever age group we had, there was always total peace. And whichever age group we didn't have, the other two, was always chaos. Everywhere we went, that was where the peace would rest. We recognized something. Amen? That there was an anointing on us to do what God was assigning us to for that point in time. And normally, 20 of babies, we'd have been pulling our hair out, but we had peace. And so you'll learn, as this thing breaks, to say, God, you've called me here. You've got me here. You'll empower me here. And watch God show up to let you do what you can't do of yourselves. Amen? You get to practice it now where you're at now, right? The Word says, if you've not been able to run, how's it worded with the foot soldier? How will you contend with chariots? If you've not been able to run with a foot soldier, how will you contend with chariots? If you can't hold up now, what are you going to do when we drop in about 3 loops and 14 flips? And worship is going to be the factor to see us through. Amen. Tongues clicks you up the hill. Orabakara, click, click. Orabosono, click, click. That's taking you up. Time in the Word keeps you on the tracks. That's one thing I like about the tube roller coasters. You know, you ride the Beast, it's a wooden roller coaster. World's fastest wooden roller coaster. But I like the steel tube roller coasters. They're so much smoother. What I like about the steel tube roller coasters, on the old style wooden coasters, you have a rail, and the coaster wheels just fit over that rail, and they just ride on that rail. You know, you got 2 sets of wheels. You know, the only thing holding you on the track is gravity. Right? On the metal tube roller coasters, the engineers notice these things. You're not held on by gravity. That's why they can take you upside down. On the metal tube roller coasters, if here's the tube, your coaster wagon has a roller up here, roller down here, that rides on this tube, and they're hooked together. That's just one set of wheels. In other words, you're locked onto that tube. You can't come off. Amen. If it was to break down, you're hanging upside down, it's not falling. Because you're locked on. And I believe that's what God's got us. He's got it in His covenant. He's got us locked onto this thing. But we'll just get in and cooperate and go. We'll make it. So, worship allows you to handle the chaos. Tongues moves you up the hill. Faith locks you on that rail. I'm not moving. I will not. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Faith keeps you in covenant. It keeps you in a place of worship. Well, lets the whole thing be energized by the anointing. And God's got a plan. He's got something down here. I'm telling you, I drew it like this. It's probably like this. There's a few coasters I've ridden in the past, because everywhere I go, if I can, I ride the roller coasters, even at my age. Been a long time, but I'd still ride them. Dude, I'd ride in an F-15 if I could. I'm talking about to ride that motorcycle like it is one. There's some roller coasters that you go over one hill, and it clicks you up. There's a chain that takes you up, and you go a ways, and you go up another hill, and there's another chain that catches you again. Some roller coasters have multiple chains that take you up hills. I'm telling you, God's going to have chains. He's going to have turbo-powered jet packs on your car. There's going to be everything involved in that thing. Amen. Now, just in closing, let me share one more dream I had. A dream I had 23 years ago. I called it the roller coaster dream. That's when God was giving me all these prophetic dreams way back. And in this dream, I saw a roller coaster ride being built. I started on the east coast of America. And I followed watching this roller coaster being built all the way from the east coast to the west coast. And it was about a mile in the sky. I mean, it was up there. You look way up there. Wow! And I remember thinking, I would love to ride that roller coaster. So I'm watching the whole thing being constructed. Next thing you know, I'm on the west coast, and they finish it. And all of a sudden, I am on it. I'm transported, translated on it. I mean, there was no buying a ticket. All of a sudden, I'm on it. On the inaugural ride. This is why I know we're leading his church, because God had me on the inaugural ride of that thing. Nobody ever ridden this ride before. And we're starting off on this ride a mile in there in these open carts. And everybody, I mean, there's a whole group of people, and they are totally excited. Amen. They're jacked. There's a reason it's called jacked, because we're so excited all the time. They are so thrilled and honored to be on this ride. Everybody's turning back, high-fiving and cheering and shouting and celebrating and just having the time of their life. And we're going through this ride, and it's got these nice, almost like following interstate curvature, these nice curves, you know, going through, and we're just enjoying the view and the scenery. And it's like, this is going to be so wonderful. But all of a sudden up ahead are these dark storm clouds. Most of you heard this before. There's these dark storm clouds forming. They're black clouds. And you can tell the tracks are going right into that set of clouds because we're a mile in the air. Lightning's flashing. And in every few cars, there was an individual that worked for the roller coaster company that built it. And I knew they were angels. There was like an angel assigned to every car or every two cars. I don't remember how often. And all of a sudden, these angels start looking at each other and they're giving each other signals. Like, and they look concerned. And all of a sudden, through the signal, somebody throws it into a higher gear. And all of a sudden, the roller coaster ride is not just like this. It's all of a sudden like this. And the clouds get darker. So they put it in high speed. Next thing I know, we're riding this thing and nobody's having fun anymore. This is not, hey, look at us anymore. This is hang on. It's going through these corners like this. I mean, banking through them. And we're wondering if we're going to survive or not. Is this going to stay on the tracks? Are we going to live? And this is for a long distance. We're like hanging on for life. I'm sure everybody praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, what looks like we're about to go straight into the heart of the black clouds. It shoots down to the ground. I mean, like, it's going like this, and all of a sudden, whoosh, almost straight down. Shoots the ground and sweeps to a stop. In fact, it ran right through another person, one of those people, and went right through him, and I knew it was an angel. Slammed to a stop, and it says, okay, everybody off. And, man, people are jumping out, kissing the ground, hugging, glory to God. I thought we were going to die, but we made it. Praise God, we made it. We survived. Everybody's just so thrilled. And this goes on for a few minutes. And then somebody hollers, all aboard! And that was just a rest stop. That was just a rest stop. And it was intended that everyone that just came off of it get back on. Because the ticket was to go all the way coast to coast to coast. This is just the first stop. The problem is, as you looked up at the tracks, which were from the flat again, almost straight up into back to a mile high, it was going straight into that black cloud. You couldn't see a thing, just a black cloud. And the dream ended with me knowing, ended right there with me knowing. Some got back on and some didn't. Some did not trust God to take them through the gross darkness that was ahead. Of course, the Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine. For the light is coming, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but his glory shall be seen upon thee. The revivalist got to be willing to get on the coaster and say, I'm going through regardless how dark things look, because I trust God to take me through them. Just like how dark it must have seemed to Israel to have to go across Jordan and attack Jericho. But God said, it's time to turn and advance. Well, right now, God's bringing us into a pivotal year that we've got to advance in. It's not always going to look like it's going to be fun. It's going to tamper with your schedules. Amen. It's going to tamper with your sleep time. It's going to tamper with what you wanted to do. It's going to tamper with your finances. Amen. As God speaks to you, you follow me? But God's about to get you to another level connected to this ride. Amen. And you've got to be willing to sell out and get on. And as you do it, God's going to bring you into the greatest experience the world has ever known. a manifestation of the glory of God on the end time revivalist church. Our greatest times are real, real close. Don't get distracted by the little fires that rise up around you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. You seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. You cause each one here to see the vision, to jump in the front car and refuse to be whipped over the top. We also refuse to bail out, quit, or hold back. We move in with everything we have and trust you to anoint us to make up the difference. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Hugs and make sure, love of God, be a blessing. We'll see you.